I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard ranked ladder. I'm your host, Daring Outline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaius and Majadeth. So let's roll into it this week. Majadeth, you want to start us off with last week's poll question? Looks like we got some great results.
Yeah, we got fantastic feedback on the poll question this week. Thank you, everybody, who submitted your response to this question about paladins. What is the strongest paladin card ever printed? We got 105 votes, and the winner is Sunkeeper Tarim with 42% of the vote. Very close behind is Call to Arms with 38%. And then Mysterious Challenger and Muster for Battle were significantly third and fourth, but all I think got some comments. I got a comment about Mysterious Challenger being single-handedly making secrets good in Paladin, and an honorable mention for Divine Favor that got a write-in vote because and an honorable mention. So yeah, it's a card that got not nerfed, but got Hall of Famed. So that tends to suggest it was pretty powerful in its own right. So excellent results. Thank you so much again. And we've got another poll question at the end of this episode. So definitely wait for that and respond with your thoughts.
Okay, so now we're going to move into revealed cards. And we're going to keep on with the class thing for the next 4 weeks, and Nikolaius is going to be out. We've already recorded our episodes ahead of time talking about the class, but Mage and I will kind of chime in and just talk a little bit before we go into those for the next 4 weeks. And then we'll be all back, three of us, back live in the beginning of September. So first, we have the Priest quest, Activate the Obelisk. It is restore 15 health, get Obelisk Eyes, which is the new hero power. Heal for 3. If it's a minion, also give it +3/+3. First glance, because it says restore 15 health, it seems like you could get that done really quick. Because Circle of Healing, anything on the board goes to that because you're restoring health. And then finally, the Priest, this is a quest that gives the Priest hero power that is 100% better than its existing hero power. There's no downsides. It's just 100% better. Am I crazy?
One extra health if you're healing anything, and then if it's a minion, you're giving it almost a Blessing of Kings buff on top of it. It seems nuts, this hero power. The question is, how difficult or how quickly can you restore that 15 health?
Yeah, it's the only quest that's been revealed that keeps the same mechanic as the original hero power. You know, when you look at the druid one, it goes from gain +1 armor, +1 attack for the turn to your choose one effects are combined. You know, shaman loses the totems but gets double the battle cry. Priest gets some healing and then it gets turned into more healing plus minion buff. So I anticipate this seeing pretty much ubiquitous play, but it's a question of how. I don't think it makes a deck. I don't think this is a build around card for a deck. I think it's just something you put in, so how much it gets played is going to be highly dependent on how good the rest of Priest as a class is.
I'd really agree with it. You know what kind of reminded me of, like, it reminded me of Dinomancy with none of the downside, the hunter hero power that turned into give a beast +2/+2, but it still heals 3. You can still use it for its initial purpose, and then you can buff a minion, heal it for 3, and buff it. So yeah, I agree.
How good would Dinomancy be if you could still steady shot in the face and do +2/+2 to a minion at the same time? It's like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and have it not be restricted to just beasts as well. Like, that was a big downside of the Dinomancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this is a really they're really trying to bring Priest back into the fold. They've been kind of MIA since the rotation and the retiring of Mind Blast.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's been a little bit of play with it, but for the most part, they really haven't seen much action during the Rise of Shadows. And I think if nothing else, this quest does a lot to make Priest interesting enough that you want to play it, at least early on in the expansion, to try it out.
Yeah, for sure. It brings some attention to Priest. Next card, we have the Kartut Defender. It's a neutral 6-mana minion, 3 attack, 4 health, taunt, reborn, death rattle, restore 3 health to a hero. Seems pretty good. Seems very much like a Zilliax-esque effect, but you generally get the healings. Like, unless you silence the card, you're going to get 6 health out of it. Like, Zilliax, you're always going to get the 3 if you just play Zilliax, of course. I'm just talking about it in a void. But there's a lot of times your opponent will spell damage it, hero power, do something else to it where you don't get that second set of healing to revive it. So this is going to give you 6 healing, pretty close to guaranteed, and it comes back. So it's going to require 2 attacks at bare minimum.
It feels like we haven't... There's been some talk when we've been looking at cards how good is the reborn mechanic. It all kind of depends on the minions that it gets put on, and this to me seems like a pretty good reborn minion, kind of the first really good reborn minion that we've seen that I think is strong enough that even if you aren't necessarily trying to leverage the reborn mechanic, it's potentially a good enough card that you could slot it in and for it to see some play. And it's neutral, so it kind of fits that mold of Blizzard likes the mid-game taunt that's neutral that creates board tension was the wording they used. And I think that this card, at least in my mind, feels like that's the minion that they were thinking of as being that minion for this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I'm not sure how many decks or how many classes want it. To me, I think that you could essentially take away the neutral tag and just give it to Warlock, because I think they're the main, if not only, class that really wants this. Neutral healing is something that Warlock desperately needs. They don't really have a lot right now. They have like the 4/6 that heals 4 when drawn, and then the next thing is like Earthen Ring Farseer. Mm-hmm. So,
well, this is going to go in that Priest deck with the quest.
Potentially. I think between Divine Hem and Circle of Healing, you don't need like that additional.
Maybe you don't need it, but I definitely think that it's a great minion to kind of add some additional heal effects in there to help you complete the quest near the end. Because, I mean, I'm thinking that around turn 6 or so is when you're hoping to potentially complete that quest, and so this could kind of push you over the edge.
That's fair.
Yeah. It seems interesting, to be fair. Next, we have Tomb Warden. 8 mana, 3 attack, 6 health. It's a mech for warrior, and Battlecry, summon a copy of this minion. So it's like a new...
How long can this go on?
Yeah. or Twin Prince. It reminds me more, because of the cost, it reminds me of the Twin Prince of Viliax.
Veklar,
yeah. Yep, from the Mechathune
Whispers. Just C'thun.
Yeah. The C'thun, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot about regular C'thun. Yes, the C'thun card, that C'thun has 10 attack. Summon another copy of this.
There was a C'thun before Mechathune.
That's true.
But the fact that this is 8 mana could come down post Dr. Boom, Mad Genius, and then these guys have Rush on top of it. Again, it might not be strong enough to see play, but it's a great card to get off of Omega Assembly potentially as well. And it's just, it's one more mech that's pretty good that Warrior is going to have at their disposal to make our lives miserable.
Yeah, it's a very strong payoff card with when combined with the Warrior Legendary that gives it +2/+2 in hand. Yeah. Because it's essentially giving it +4/+4 with that one card. And then if you have any other taunts in your hand, it becomes pretty insane. Yes. I don't know if that archetype will see play this year, barring a Dr. Boom nerf, but it does exist and it will probably be more relevant next year.
Yeah, I think so. So we have written down a couple cards here.
Yeah, just a few things that I noted when they were being revealed as cards that I think are either very powerful or just interesting. Pressure Plate, which was revealed by Pathera, which was an awesome video, is a secret, Hunter secret, that when your opponent casts a spell, destroy a random enemy minion. Which it's essentially Deadly Shot as a secret, which is interesting. Hunter doesn't have any secrets that interact with spells in Standard right now. Mm-hmm. The last one they had was Cat Trap, and that was very powerful. But
Cat Trick.
Cat Trick, yes. But it's summoned a 4/2. This is destroying an enemy minion, which is probably worse, but it's another thing that your opponents have to account for and put into the sequencing, and you're going to get this discovered or randomly generated a lot. So it's just another headache.
That's why I liked it as a secret, because it adds another thing to check off. So you have to go one step further with Hunter against the Hunter secret to figure out what that trap is.
I think I saw that it will not go off if there is not a minion on the on your opponent's side of the board when they cast a spell. So it's a little bit more difficult to trigger, and because you can't like freezing trap or something. Like Cat Trick was nice or easier to trigger because you just cast a spell and you don't have to go anything. You have to literally put a minion on the board. Then you have to cast a spell knowing that you could potentially lose that minion. And if it's not that, then you've done two actions and you could get you're right on the cusp of a rat trap or something like that. That's also somewhat difficult to check for as well. So it's a very interesting spell.
Yep. The High Priest Ahmet is the priest legendary, 4 mana, 2/7. Whenever you summon a minion, set its health to be equal to this minion's health. I have no idea how good it is. Like, obviously, if it sticks a turn, it's going to be absolutely insane. But I have no idea. It's just interesting. And if Priest gets more cards like this, then they might actually see play. So... Dark Pharaoh Takan, I have no idea how to pronounce that, but it is the Warlock Legendary, 5 mana, 4/4. All your lackeys are now 4/4s. I heard you like Quest Rogue, so we gave it to Warlock. Yeah, that's going to be frustrating to play against, because they already have that huge lackey payoff card, that the 3 mana 3/3 that summons a 5/5. Yeah, Shadow of Death, 4 mana, shuffle 3 tokens of a minion into your deck that summon when drawn. People have been theorizing a bunch of OTKs. I have no idea if that's actually going to be reasonable, because like you have to get the minion onto the board. If it's expensive, you have to make sure it lives a turn. Then you shuffle them into your deck. Then you have to draw them.
The question I have is, like, does a battle cry trigger on that card when you play it? Like, nope. So it just literally summons it.
It just summons it. So I don't know. Like, I saw something with, like, you Myra's and then you play Leroy the next turn and then Shadow of Death it, which is interesting. I don't know if that's better than what Rogue is already doing, but all right.
I mean,
it's interesting.
It strikes me as silly and funny, and you might take it occasionally off of Ethereal Lackey, but it's Nerubian, what was the 4-4? The Faldori Strider without a 4-4 body. Now, granted, it is whatever minion you have on the board, but like Ambush, I think it was called Ambush, didn't see much play. The one that shuffled the 4-4 into your opponent's deck. So, I don't know. I just don't see it being used for anything more than just people being cute.
Yeah. A card that I think is...
I would note, by the way, it just says choose a minion. It doesn't have to be a friendly minion. You can copy an opponent's minion as well. So, if your opponent plays something interesting, you can summon, you get three free copies of it if you draw them after you've played this. So that's something you could do with this. I'm not sure if that makes it any better. I'm kind of more towards Daring Alkaline on this, but it is interesting.
Yeah. As far as powerful cards go, Pharaoh's Cat, a 1-mana 1/2 in Rogue, Battlecry, add a random reborn minion to your hand. Yeah. This should see play in pretty much every single Rogue deck until it rotates, because 1-mana 1/2s that gives you an extra card have always been good. There has never been a situation that I can think of where a 1-mana 1/2 give you a card has been bad, unless that card somehow killed you, which hasn't happened yet. So, that card is absolutely nuts. And then the last card I wanted to quickly talk about, Siamat. It was revealed in a video by Amazing LP, which was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, amazing video.
Watch it again, and watch it like three more times after that. It is fantastic. They revealed that along with Flame Ward, but Siamat, 7-mana, 6/6, Battle Cry, gain 2 of Rush, Taunt, Divine Shield, or Wind Fury.
You pick.
Yeah, so you're going to pick one of the, it's going to bring up the Discover screen, and you're going to pick one of the four, and then it's going to bring up the Discover screen again, and you're going to pick one of the remaining three. This is pretty nuts. I don't know how many classes actually can, like, get to 7-mana and want to include this. Like, maybe this mage wants to put it in. I'm not sure. Shaman probably likes it. But regardless, this card is absolutely insanely flexible as well. Like, it can be, if you really, really need to remove two minions, it's Rush and Wind Fury. If you need to put up a wall, it's Taunt Divine Shield. If you just need to deal with one big minion, it's Rush Divine Shield. Like, it is super, super flexible. This will get played at some point. I don't know when, I don't know what deck, but it will be played.
I agree, too.
It's an elemental, so it's got the elemental tag, so there is some synergies there, specifically with Shaman, especially, that they could end up with it in their deck just because of, like, the Might card and the, God dang it, the 2-mana card that gives you
a Menacing Nimbus.
Menacing Nimbus. Yeah, I'm having trouble with cards today.
Nah, it's fine, don't worry about it. But can we talk about Flame Warden real quick? Damn.
Yes. A new secret for Mage.
Like, we heard you like Flame Trap, but how about a better explosive trap?
Only downside is it doesn't deal face damage.
Correct.
But Mage's one weakness, I guess, I'm putting that in air quotes, right now is dealing with, like, wide token boards that, if you can't freeze it, like, four turns in a row, you know, then that's their weakness. And this is like, so you don't have to freeze it for like six turns in a row. You can just play this, and when, you know, they make a Forest Aid and try to Savage Roar you, they just die. So,
yeah, it definitely is a very interesting secret. I like it. I like it a lot for Mage. So.
And it requires the minion to attack you in order for it to go off, which is interesting as well. It's because unlike, say, Explosive Trap, where you as the hero could trigger it like with a weapon or something and then play around it after the fact, you know, put your minions down after the fact, if that's what you think it is. This, you actually have to have a minion hit in, and then that damage is done to all the rest of its compadres.
Yeah, I think that just makes sense because, like, Explosive Trap does deal face damage, whereas this doesn't, so that wouldn't make much sense if that was the case. Right. But it is better that it only triggers in that way, so that's another advantage it does have over Explosive Trap.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so let's move on to the class this week, which is Priest. Mage, you want to give us the developer's insight on Priest?
Yeah, so Priest balances Holy Light and Shadow Magic to defeat their opponents. Okay, that's nice. do we really think that's what they're doing? They're Divine Spirit inner firing people. That's what they're doing. Strengths for Priest is they can heal. They've got a healing hero power, so I guess that makes sense. They've now got a bunch of heal spells. They've narrow but powerful spells. I guess they're probably thinking these big AoE board clears, maybe mind control. Things like that are probably what they're thinking about with regards to powerful spells. Copying, single minion buffs, and Death Rattle. One of its limitations is card draw. They do have some of that, and it's actually a really nice card draw is baked right into the basic set. And then weaknesses are face damage spells and multi-minion buffs.
Okay, so Nikolaos, you want to run us down the core or the key cards from the basic and classic Blastic set?
From the Blastic set, the big two cards are Northshire Cleric and Power Word Shield. This is what makes most Priest decks function. It's your 1-mana 1/3, which has been pretty much extinct at this point. With an upside, so it's even better. And then the Power Word Shield is the 1-mana psycho that also gives a minion +2 health. So it allows the priest to more effectively use the hero power on minions. Beyond that, they have their Shadow Word pair, Pain and Death, that will kill a minion of 3 or less, or 5 or more, so that 4 attack sweet spot. Kind of made a meme for a while that priests just can't deal with a Twilight Drake. They can't do it. You just drop a Twilight Drake on turn 4 and they concede. So I was a priest main for my first few months. It was really sad.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And then they have half of the key combo that's one of their main win conditions historically, Divine Spirit, doubling a minion's health, which isn't really used in the way that we would expect it to be used, because it pairs very nicely with, from the classic set, Inner Fire, which makes your minion's attack equal to its health. So if you have a large health minion and then you buff it twice with Divine Spirit, it probably has more than 30, and then you Inner Fire it, and then your opponent is most likely dead.
Yes,
face most likely blows up.
Yeah. Beyond that, also in the classic set, they have Circle of Healing, which combines very nicely with Northshire Cleric to give them quite a bit of card draw. Cabal Shadow Priest, which is one of the classic control priest cards, allowing you to take control of a minion 2 or less attack. And then their legendary Prophet Velen, 7-mana 7/7, that doubles the healing and damage of your hero power and spells.
Yep.
Which was definitely used from time to time throughout Hearthstone history.
Spoiler alert, it's never been used for healing.
No, not really.
Shocker. Okay, so you want to look at the Dex of Old... No, okay, wait. I will object to that one second. Zarek's Cloning Gallery Priest, you would occasionally...
Spirit Lash was a card that...
Yes.
Because it was normally 0 or 1 mana, and it would deal like 14 damage, and then that would double the damage, and then that would... So I should edit that. They don't... use it for healing unless that healing is quadrupled.
That's true.
and can be paired with some damage as well, it seems like.
Yes.
The thing we should note is there's almost no minions as a part of this. And so Priest doesn't play on the board as much as a lot of the other classes. And so it's weird that the hero power, in my opinion, doesn't match with, like, I would expect a hero power that heals, like, potentially minions as well as your hero, that there would be more, like, really effective minions in the classic set to be able to leverage that, but it's not. It feels like a bit of a disconnect, and so I don't know what you guys think, but that's always been my feeling on it.
Yeah, I mean, the meme for Priest is, on turn 2, they hero power and emote, because... They don't typically have a minion on turn 1. They don't typically have a minion on turn 2, and they have nowhere to put that hero power except at your opponent's face, and you say blessings to you, or the light will burn you, you know. You have to get the right emote with the right hero. So if you're playing as Anduin, you have to threaten them. And if you're playing as Tyrande, you have to... greetings them. You have to get
I'm gonna write it down, that down, so I have that for the
this
future.
Is the most important part about playing Priest, because this is something that you would do almost every single game.
I plan on playing a little Priest with some of these cards we're seeing this next expansion, so I've got to have that down and ready to go.
Okay, so let's look at the decks of old.
Yeah, so going back Hearthstone's history, Control Priest is kind of the only thing that it's got going for it for a while. And it generally wasn't as good as War. It had its moments, especially when Entomb was printed. Mm-hmm. It added one of the big bombs that Warrior had into your own deck. So not only did it give you an extra turn before fatigue, but it also gave you another threat. But generally it wasn't great. And then it kind of got into the Silence Priest, which was one of the first, it was a meme, Purify Priest, Unicorn Priest, that was a thing. It wasn't actually that bad, but it wasn't anywhere near meta, so, that's the only thing I can say.
It's a different play style, and like, it's really good if you don't know it's coming. Like if you're playing it and your opponent doesn't know what's coming, that deck can just destroy you, and quickly, I might add.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It first became a thing when Purify was printed, but that was also in Karazhan, where if you were playing anything besides Midrange Shaman, you were probably doing it wrong. So it didn't see much play. And then I think it saw a bit of play in Un'Goro before falling off a cliff again. But between that, we had Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, where they printed a very, very, very powerful card called Dragonid Operative. That combined with a bunch of the other dragon cards printed in TGT and Black Rock Mountain, which made Dragon Priest, which was pretty much the only mid-range deck that could survive in that time period between the Pirate Warriors and the Reno decks and the Jade decks. It typically lost to the Pirate decks because they could just get through your taunts very quickly and still have enough damage. But it did very well against the Reno decks because it could outvalue them while presenting more threats.
Imagine that, discovering a copy of a card in your opponent's deck would allow you to outvalue your opponent. That freaking
the mirrors got so nutty. It was going to be just the first person to like to draw both of theirs or to get theirs first one down and discover a copy of another operative in their deck. Like, they typically won. So you'd see games where each player was playing, like, 6 to 8 operatives in a single game. And it was just, I need to draw my operative so they can't discover it anymore.
There was lots of secret agent coming through.
I love that line. I love that voice line.
Love that card.
After that, like I mentioned, Silence Freeze came kind of a thing again. Wasn't as good. But then we kind of got into Knights of the Frozen Throne. So there were so many freaking design mistakes printed, and two of them existed in the Priest class. The first one was Diamond Spellstone. That card needs to be just deleted. I'm sorry, big Priest players, but that card needs to be gone. And it was a 7-mana card that resurrected 2 different friendly minions that died that game, and you cast 4 spells to upgrade it to 3, and then 4 more spells to upgrade it to 4, and it really enabled this big Priest archetype, where you'd be playing minions and resurrecting them, and playing Barnes to get them out sooner, and then resurrecting the full minion along with Eternal Servitude. It was just miserable to play against, in my opinion.
Shadow Essence, too.
Shadow Essence, yeah.
Point of order, the Lesser Spellstone actually was in Cobalts and Catacombs.
Excuse me, yes. Yes.
So, Free from Amber, though, was...
Ungoro. Okay, Free from Ambers, Ungoro.
Alright, so I skipped ahead a bit, sorry.
Yeah.
And
it's okay.
Frozen Throne, what was printed was the Death Knight Anduin. And this is when Priest was a class that had access to Kazakus, but they never got to do the Singleton deck because Raza just wasn't very good compared to the others, and Dragon Priest was just was the way to play. But Raza combined with Death Knight Anduin gave you a 30 damage OTK. When using Holy Smite, Mind Blast, and Prophet Velen. So, and because it had a card called Shadow Visions, it was incredibly... It had an extra spell, so you could use that for an extra... what would later in Kobolds be Psychic Scream, or Dragonfire Potion when it was standard, Potion of Madness...
Shadow Word Horror.
Yes, it was very flexible to get you an extra copy of a card. Then we get to Kobolds and Big Priest becomes... Resurrect Priest becomes a thing. We also get Spiteful Priest because Priest could run Prince Kaliseth because they had very few good 2-mana minions, and then they would put in 2 copies of Free from Amber and 1 to 2 copies of Mind Control, depending on the meta. And then that got nerfed because Spiteful Summoner was just an absolutely ridiculous card. So that no longer was a thing.
In multiple decks.
Druid,
and
people
were running it in Mage, people were running it in Priest. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So also in Kobolds, we got a card called Duskbreaker, and that was fun when Duskbreaker, which absolutely insane, and Draconoid Operative, absolutely insane, were in the same deck. That only lasted one expansion, so it was only like 4 months of that going on. But
and then what was the card that brought back 2/1/1 copies of a Death Rattle minion? Because that came out in Kobold and Catacombs. That really enabled the Quest Priest too.
I think that was in Boomsday, but I'm not sure.
No, it wasn't, because my favorite deck of all time for Priest came out. It was Kobolds and Catacombs. It was the OTK Corrupted Healbot.
Twilight's Call. Is the card. It summoned 1/1 copies of 2 friendly Death Rattle minions that died this
Twilight's game. Call. and embrace the shadows.
So, oh, okay.
So it was a way to do 30 damage in a single turn, and it was beautiful. It sucked, but if you've heard me on anything before, my previous podcast or any other interview where they asked me one of my favorite cards, it's always Corrupted Healbot, because I love that combo. It was so much fun. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, so alongside Spiteful Priest and Kobolds and Catacombs, we also had a Dragon OTK Priest, which relied on the Dragon package along with Divine Spirit and Inner Fire to essentially do what the Silence Priest was doing. But the advantage is that you could play the Twilight Acolyte to reduce a minion that's on the opponent's side to 2. Potion of Madness, that card, so it's not on your side. So if it's a Void Lord, you had a 2/9 on your side, and then you go Divine Spirit, Inner Fire, and that minion has charge, and they're just dead.
And they always had at least 2 because of the Shadow Visions, because you just go and you look for the thing you need, and then GG.
Mm-hmm. God, absolutely infuriating. And that kind of lasted for a while. A few other priest decks popped up, mostly OTK combo decks, such as Mechathune. I think Priest was the main class that used Mechathune. There were a few others, such as Druid and Warlock and Warrior. But if I remember correctly, Priest was the main one that could actually do it, because they could run essentially, what was it, like 24 cards that cost less than 3, and then they were drawing Hemet, the 2 Ticking Abominations, the Reckless Experimenter, and then just Mechathune.
Yep.
And the Coffin Crasher. Yeah. Coffin, so it was essentially 24 cards that either cycled and or cost less than 3. So when you played the Hemet, it would destroy pretty much your entire deck. And you would be able to OTK very, very quickly. And then the APM Priest came out, I think it was at the same time with the release of Topsy Turvy.
Yep.
And Test Subject. And yep. That was a more complicated APM, like, combo way to win, but it had more, I want to say, defensive options. It wasn't, like, it was easier. It was harder to play, but I think it was a better combo than the Mechathune.
I'd agree.
Especially when comparing, like, someone was really, really good at it, like Dog.
I respect somebody that OTKs me with APM Priest. I do not with the Hemet and then Mechathune, and with, you know, just basically just playing for 3 minions and then killing yourself and destroying Mechathune in the process, thus killing your opponent.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. And then we still kind of had that Dragon OTK in Rauskas, though I was kind of overshadowed by Malagos Druid and then Midrange Hunter and stuff like that. And Kingsbane Rogue before the nerfs.
Oh yeah.
And now Priest is in a really rough state again. Priest has probably, over the course of Hearthstone's history, been the worst class performance-wise or win rate-wise. Right now it kind of has Gnome Priest, but it just hard loses to some of the meta decks. So it's not really worth playing. And then there's also, like, this Mech Priest, which is just, like, a worse version of Mech Paladin.
Yeah.
Which also gets hard countered by some of the meta decks, so it's just not really got anything going on right now.
Well, I feel like when it comes down to it, I feel like Priest was the big loser from the rotation. It lost so many good tools. It lost Shadow Visions. It lost, obviously, I will exclude Anduin, but, you know, because Anduin was kind of busted there. But even then, Radiant Psychic Elemental. Psychic Scream,
Radiant Elemental.
Spirit Lash.
Spirit Lash was gone. The spells, all the resurrect effects were gone, along Vivid with the Nightmare, Shadow Essence. Yeah.
It just feels really bad that, like, they lost so much and, like, did not get really anything when they went back into League of Shadows.
Rise of Shadows, yeah.
Rise of Shadows.
I think that it's very easy and fair to say that Priest has the worst basic classic set of any class in Hearthstone. And a lot of that comes down to the fact that they don't have a win condition built into their class. They had one, kind of, in Mind Blast. Now the only thing they have is Divine Spirit and Inner Fire. When you compare that to a class like Druid, Savage Roar, Soul of the Forest, great. Shaman, Bloodlust, great. Hunter, Kill Command, great. Mage, Fireball, Pyroblast, Archmage Antonitis, great. All of these completely dwarf anything that Priest can do. And I do have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We did mention this card, but what is this? This has a single answer. It's not an objective question. There is a right answer. What is the strongest Priest card ever printed?
Strongest Priest card ever printed. Is it? I feel like if it has to be Anduin. I could be wrong.
I think it's Mind Blast. Two mana to do 5 damage to your opponent's face.
Both of those are good answers, but it's Shadow Visions.
Okay, that's
Shadow
fair.
Visions, without a doubt, is the strongest card that Priest ever got because it enabled them to do these weird things that their class is known for, but consistently.
Yes.
Inner Fire, Divine Spirit without Shadow Visions is a meme. Mind Blast without Shadow Visions is a meme. Any removal that Priest has without Shadow Visions is a meme because they very rarely get good AoE. They get like one good AoE a year. So for one set, they have 2 good AoEs, and for 2 sets, they have 1 good AoE. And this, then the Shadow Visions allows them to have essentially 4 AoEs instead of the 2 if they need it, or that can be flexed into something else like another resurrect effect or another damage effect.
Okay.
When you're looking at Priest and these weird, inconsistent cards, Shadow Visions is what brought it all together. It is what made Priest actually viable while it was in Standard. And now that it's gone, we're seeing the effect. Priest was at its strongest for the 2 years that Shadow Visions is legal, and the instant it leaves, along with some other cards, but the instant that it left, Priest is going right back into the dumpster.
Does Radiant Elemental get the honorable mention there too?
I mean, I think, I'm not sure what would be the second, because I think the gap between number 1 and number 2 is just so large. But Radiant Elemental making things,
being able to use Sorcerer's Princess was last week, and it's
and being able to use, you know, Shadow Visions for 1 mana, and if you have 2 of them out, it's like a 0 mana infinite cycle. Which when Anduin and Raza was 0 mana hero power, it was essentially an OTK if you could get it consistently.
Outside of Draconid Operative, it feels like most of the best cards that that Priest has had have been spells. And so, to your point, anytime you can add potentially a third or fourth copy of whichever of those spells that you want or need for a particular matchup, it just completely changes the landscape of Priest's viability.
And it's more consistent too. Like, you get a third or fourth chance to find that spell when you need it. So, yeah,
that's probably a very astute observation. I had not considered that how different would Priest look right now? Just even with everything else rotating out, or how different would it look if Shadow Visions was in the classic set and they could still had access to it?
Yeah, I mean,
Priest would still be viable, I think.
I mean, we're seeing people attempt to do a Resurrect Priest with, like, the Mass Resurrections and the legendary, whose name I can't pronounce.
Katrina.
Katrina.
Yeah. Anyway, Katrina, like, yeah. People are trying to do that. And it's not working because it's so inconsistent. Like, the only way that I ever lost to that deck is when they had, like, the full combo and all the Resurrects and, like, two or three, like, strong minions in the top 10 cards of their deck. Like, their top 10 cards essentially had to be, like, the three strong minions, a Resurrect effect, two Divine Spirits and Inner Fire, and a little bit of removal so they don't actually just die. Like, it's such a specific draw that if you just add a Shadow Visions to it, that's probably a functioning deck. It's probably not tier one, but it's something that Priest can play.
So I'll give you an idea of that deck in a nutshell today. I played against that deck today as Cyclone Mage. He seanced my copy of Khadgar and had the Katrina up, whatever her name is, and he still lost to me. I was still able to outvalue him and, like, push him down, and, like, I feel like he was missing the inner fire. He was, like, one inner fire away from destroying me.
Yeah. So I don't know a lot about the strength of Priest. Like, healing is great when you're not healing your face, but they've almost completely refused to print good Priest minions. Like, think about the good Priest minions. So, like, Draconid Operative and Duskbreaker and Northshire Cleric, and there's not a lot else. So Priest has never been able to use the hero power effectively. Narrow but powerful spells are great when you can run one of them, but if you run one of them, then you don't have that consistency that you need. So a lot of the times that, like, that you need that narrow spell, it's at the bottom of your deck. Copying, sure, whatever. Single minion buffs, fine, I guess, when you talk about the Divine Spirit Inner Fire, but you need those on time. You need that more consistently so you can actually get use out of your hero power. You can keep control of the board, or you can OTK with the Inner Fire, Topsy-Turvy, Alchemist, whatever the effect may be. Card draw, I think, is pretty fine for Priest, to be honest. Northshire Cleric is a fantastic card engine. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have, like, turn one Northstar Cleric, coin, Power Word Shield, your opponent pretty much just can't play a card unless anytime they play a minion, they're accepting that you're going to draw a card after that. That's great. Like, I would go into that more. I don't think that should be a limitation. I want that to be a strength or something. More card draw means more consistency. Don't make that a limitation. Their weaknesses.
I don't know how that's not, because, like, Mass Dispel is a classic card, I think, as well. And I mean, they've had Lyra in the past. There's been lots of card draw, lots of card generation that Priest can run. So I'm hard pressed to figure out why that's a limitation, and it should be a strength, I think.
Yeah, and then their weakness of face damage spells. They have Holy Smite, Holy Fire, and they had Mind Blast. That's not awful. They just didn't print any more in any expansion after that because they already had those cards in the classic and basic set. And we've seen that one of the only ways Priest has been able to win consistently, if it's not with Inner Fire, it's been with Mind Blast. So I understand. I completely understand getting rid of Mind Blast from the classics and basic set. I do understand that. It just removing one of the only ways that Priest has been able to win.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, multi-minion buff Priest just doesn't do that, because that would be absolutely busted, because Circle of Healing and Divine Hammer are cards that you can play. And with you pair that with a Northstar Cleric, and that instantly draws you, like, six cards or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap it up for this week. Mage, what poll question do you have for us this week related to the class of priest?
Yeah, I got an interesting poll question here. I want to know what strength, archetype, or mechanic specific to priest do you enjoy playing the most? Now, we talked about Death Rattle being one of the strengths. We talked about minion buffing, which would be Divine Spirit, Inner Fire, that sort of thing. Silence probably would come in there because they silence things before Divine Spirit Inner Firing. We have the Resurrect mechanic. I know that's a very hot button issue. We're not talking about Barnes necessarily. We're talking about all the res effects that are now in Wild, but the ability to resurrect minions that you played probably for much bigger than they were originally. And then dragons. They've been a staple in the priest class for a little while. Not so much right now, but that saw a fair amount of play for a while. So which of those do you like playing with as priest the most? If there's something we didn't mention, definitely reply and give me a write-in vote for that, and we'll talk about the results next week.
Real quick, you just reminded me of something. Man, I'm missing Nether Spite Historian. That was a cool card.
Plot twist.
All right. Okay. So, Nicholas, you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yes. I'm on Discord at the Doctor 3 and on CoinTenSeed. I'm Nicholas there. I'm on Twitter at Nicholas123. And I do coaching over at Gamer Sensei under the same tag.
Mage.
A lot of the Hearthstone Discords at Majadeath on Twitter, and then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday I stream on twitch.tv/Majadeath. So come hang out.
Okay, you can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email us on Gmail. It's Dr3HS@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Please leave a review if you like what you're hearing. We'll figure something out to do a contest to get some reviews in the near future. So I've been thinking about that, and I just need to discuss it with the guys before we announce anything. And then you can find me on Twitter at Daring Outline, and also the Dr3HS Discord, which you can find conveniently enough pinned on our Twitter. So. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week.
Boom.
You beat me to it. How dare you, man? Boom.